Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest today, Meldine Norville. She is here today to chat with us about limb loss, or as most Barbadians would say, amputation, and living life after she has lost one leg. Welcome to the program, Meldine.
Hi, good evening to the panel. Good evening. My name is Meldine Norville. It's nice to be here. Nice to share my journey with you.
Nice. Okay, so Meldine, let us start by how, or rather, what caused your leg to be amputated?
Well, I've been a diabetic for 30 odd years. My time of amputation, that was in 2022, May 27th, I had my leg amputated. Previous to that, about 2 weeks before that, I had gone to the masseuse to have my foot massaged. I did get the massage, not knowing during the massage that I had some cracks underneath my toes from the machine that I was massaged with. That is what really led to my having my right leg amputated. The left leg also had cracks, but they healed. I guess things do happen for reasons untold, because I would not have known that I wasn't getting any blood flow to my toes. I would not have known that I had blood clots in my foot had that not happened, but I left it in the master's hand. I went into the hospital with a good frame of mind. I left everything. I know everything was going to be okay.
I'm happy to know that you had a positive frame of mind on learning that you had to have your leg amputated. So let's backtrack a little and tell me about the living with diabetes. How did you cope in terms of your diet, exercise, and so on, real self-care?
Well, as I said, I've been a diabetic for 30 odd years. So coping with diabetes is basically you change your diet to accommodate yourself. Exercising could be walking, that I did on a regular basis, back in my days, I would have been in the gym twice a day, so I'm a relatively fit person. But there are things that you don't know about your foods. Foods are strange things. You don't know sometimes the content of food will make your blood sugar spike. So if you eat something and you get a high spike, you know to limit that. But my thing, I'm a person that like fruits. I like vegetables. So it's not been a really hard journey for me in terms of eating to accommodate my diabetes.
Okay. And are you married? Have children? How did your family respond to you losing your leg?
Well, I'm not married. I do have children. My children have been very supportive. My family also has been very supportive to me, because for the first few weeks after being discharged from the hospital, I really never had a problem doing things. I came out the hospital with the same frame of mind that, you know what, I can do anything possible. And there I went about doing what I had to do. I still got into the kitchen and cooked, wash, clean, do all the things that I would have been doing before I had my leg taken off. So I did not have, and I can't really say that I had challenges in that way. My only thing was, you know what, if you wanted something, I'm not going to be able to get up and run to the supermarket to get it. But now I can do that. I can get up and I can get a cab and I can go to the supermarket and buy my stuff. I can call my son and say, you know what? I need to get some stuff from the supermarket and I'm going. I'm not going to send you for them, but I'm going. So I go to the supermarket and get stuff myself. If I have a bill to pay, I go there and pay it. regardless of what I have to do, I get up and go and do it. I don't sit down and tell myself it can't be done. It can be done.
Simply finding different avenues or different techniques to get the task done.
Yes. I find when I go to business places, somebody's always there to lend a helping hand.
Excellent, excellent.
Always there to lend a helping hand. So it's not hard as, well, for me, I don't know about other individuals, but for me, I don't find it hard because I am a kind of outspoken and friendly person. So I don't have a problem asking a question. I don't have a problem with querying things. No, I don't.
Okay, so now let's look at your family giving you good support. Let us talk about how you have adjusted emotionally, physically, professionally, because you are a hairdresser by profession.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still practicing?
Well, I do a little, not a lot. A little, probably every now and then. I can say every now and then I would do a little. But most of my days, well, I live alone, actually. I do live alone. So most of my days I would spend, when the kids are on holiday, I have my grandchildren. So I do have company sometimes. My days when they're not here, I go to therapy. I would do little programs with my club, Risa. I read a lot. I do Bible studies. So basically, my time is well spent. I don't get bored, for sure. I don't feel that boredom. And I don't feel the sense of being alone or depressed. No, I don't feel that. There's always something to do. The mind is always working.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard you say that you don't feel depressed at any point. Did you feel depressed?
Well,
or really sad about losing your legs?
No, I never felt sad about losing my legs. That is something that I understood from the moment I went to the accident and emergency. I understood you're not coming back home with this leg because I had gangrene in my toe. So it was dry gangrene. The outside of the toe looked as though it was healed, but on the inside wasn't healed. So I knew that, you know what? You're either going to come back with part of the leg off or most of it. And then, too, with the blood clots that I had and then the failure of the blood flow to my foot, to the toes and stuff, I know I had to get it taken off. Actually, I had to beg my doctor to take it off because they were trying their best to see how they can get the blood flow flowing. I had the surgery for the veins, to open up the veins to accommodate the blood flow. That didn't work. Then I had the under the knee amputation. That's when I had to ask my doctor, you know what? You need to take it where there is a blood flow, cut it off, you know? I have life, and there's a lot of life in me. I can't sit down and study about a limb that I am going to lose when I want to live. No. It doesn't stop me from doing anything that I wanted to do. Just that, you know, you had to learn to deal with the challenges. So I had no problem.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. So you managed your limb loss and that moved you into getting involved with the RISA,
yes,
your organization for persons who have experienced amputations. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about RISA.
Well, we as a group are rather a family because that's the way we see ourselves, as a family, learning about each other and things that we can do to help one another. We're in the process right now of trying to get transportation for our members. So we're in the process of doing fundraisers to bring in the funding. We're asking government to help us in that aspect also. So it's not an easy journey, but I know we're going to make it. With the support of each other and the general public out there and government, we are going to get our bus, and we are extending invitations to other members out there in society with amputations to come forward, be among the family, come out, be able to speak about your experience, be able to have a shoulder to cry on if you need to cry, be able to feel welcome and feel wholesome day to day. Because I know there are a lot of people out there that do have the amputations that might not have had my experience, might not have been able to handle it the way I handled it, and they do need someone to talk to. They need a shoulder to cry on. I'm asking those people out there and their families. The families do play a big part in this also. So if a family member can come out and say, you know what, let me get that member out, bring them out to our meetings. We have meetings every third Saturday at the Council of the Disabled from 1 to 5 in the evening. And the programs are always, always interesting.
Meldine, how can persons reach the RISA organization? How can they get in touch?
They can call the Council of the Disabled. And that way you can get on to our program. There's always information there that you will be given, contact numbers with the president, the secretary. It is easy. So all you have to do is call the Council of the Disabled and you will be able to find us.
Okay. And what other programs does RISA facilitate?
Well, right now, we do socializing programs, social events. Recently, we have had our meet and greet, which was just Saturday the 21st. Okay, the meet and greet, which is extending our group to let the general public really know who we are. We've had a pretty good supportive session on Saturday. We had a minister, Kurt Humphrey. Then we had Jason Green from Canada, because he's also amputee, who spoke on different ways that we can help each other and the things that we can do going forward to help amputees. Then there was Suzanne Walks from Strides Prosthesis, who spoke also about the charity that she has started to help us prosthetic with the prosthetics and any help in what we might be needing out there, encouragement to come forward. We've been doing a lot to bring people out in the open, not stay and hide behind doors and tell yourself there's no help. There is some help.
Okay.
We only need to make that first step.
Okay. Now, Meldine, let's go back to after you lost your leg, how did you arrive at purchasing an artificial leg, a prosthetic leg?
I got my prescription to do my leg. Okay. I did like a fundraiser. I asked for donations and stuff to aid with my prosthesis. My church, my friends, I went out there and I asked for donations to help with my prosthesis. That's how I started. Prostheses are pretty expensive. They are very expensive. I think you as a person, you have to be able to care for your prosthesis to make it last you the length of time it's supposed to last. Then you have to care for your leg, your amputee leg. You have to care for that. Daily care. You have to be able to wear your silicone to keep it from expanding. You got to be able to be bandaged at nighttime, because mostly when you sleep is when the expansion comes. So you have to keep it at a certain kind of size to fit your prosthesis. Because if it gets too big, well, too small is not a major, major problem. but too big can be a problem. You have to wear your socks. If it's getting smaller, then you can add more socks to fit into this socket. As with my prosthesis, I have to have a prosthesis with a socket where my leg goes into. People with under the knee amputation, that is different to mine. Mine being the most expensive prosthesis, we have to care for ours. We have to be able to do, we have to exercise. We have to keep our weight at a standstill. We can't be either losing too much weight, nor we can't be gaining weight. So we have to keep it in a balance.
Okay. And with the prescription, that will describe the type of prosthesis that you need to purchase.
Exactly, yes, it does. Because you have to, like, for instance, you have to think about what you're going to do after you have a prosthesis. If you're going to get into the same working field that you were in before, there are different prostheses for different work areas. The activity, the amount of activity that you're going to be dealing with. So you build your prosthesis according to your activity.
And where can a person who has lost a limb go to learn more about the various types of prosthetics?
Well, there's Strides Prosthetics. You can go to Strides. There is, well, Mr. Cody now has retired from the hospital. So then there is only Miss Walcott at the hospital. And I am not sure if she does a lot of leg prosthetics. I know she does a lot of prosthetics for people with scoliosis and stuff like that. That would need, like, your spine, yes. When your spine is curved and stuff like that. Yes, she does a lot of that. But now there's basically Suzanne Walks from Strides. You can go to her, and she's on the webpage. She's on Instagram, and I'm certain she's on Facebook also. And okay, she's also wonderful in the Yellow Pages. Yeah. So it's easy to find her, and she's right there by the Sir Winston Scott Polyclinic on Gemmets Lane. So it's not hard to find her.
Okay. And Meldine, as we get ready to wind down the program, what message would you give to the persons who have lost a limb or both limbs?
That message to people who would have lost their limbs. All I can say to them, be strong, have faith in yourself. There's no need to be afraid. We have a second chance at life. You can do anything that is possible through God who strengthens you. Get up there, or as we can say, wake up, make up, dress up, and get out. No need to hide behind the doors.
Excellent words of encouragement, Meldine. And it has been a privilege chatting with you today. Thank you so much for sharing your journey from losing your limb to wearing a prosthetic leg and still being very active in our society. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you have been listening to Visions, and today, as we celebrate Heroes Day, I am acknowledging all persons with disabilities in Barbados who have done yeoman work in advocating and representing people with disabilities. And today, I will share a very short excerpt on the life of Carson Small.
In the Bible, John 13 teaches us about the value of serving others as a way of serving God. Carson Small epitomized this belief from a young age, dedicating his life to doing God's work by helping those in need. His journey began with the Salvation Army, where he rose to the rank of Lance Corporal, demonstrating his passion for serving God through serving his community. In 1974, Carson embarked on a new chapter by joining Barbados Radio Fusion Service Limited as a broadcaster. Known as Uncle George on the Children's Party Show, he brought joy and entertainment to many. He also hosted the community program Far and Wide, and later the disability show Visions, showcasing his commitment to inclusivity and advocacy. His impact extended beyond broadcasting, as he actively engaged in humanitarian efforts. Carson co-founded the Barbados National Organization of the Disabled, BARNOD, in 1983 with Lucina Skeet. He served as the public relations officer for a decade, championing the rights of the disabled community nationally and internationally, including at the United Nations. Carson's influence was profound, inspiring countless individuals with disabilities to stand up for themselves and others. He founded the Carson Small Foundation, furthering his mission of empowerment and advocacy. His contributions were not limited to advocacy, as he also participated in community events like the Whole Town Festival and collaborated with organizations such as the Lions Club. Through his music, Carson touched the hearts of many with his powerful baritone voice, performing gospel music with the Love Circle Band across various countries. His dedication and legacy were felt far and wide, making a lasting impact on all who knew him. Carson Small's passing in August 2018, just before his 75th birthday, marked the end of a remarkable life dedicated to service, advocacy, and spreading joy through his various endeavors.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby. And remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660, 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. Remember, you can listen to this and past episodes by going onto the VOB929.com website. And until next week, I'm going to wish you a lovely Heroes Day holiday. Enjoy. Remember, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.